Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board today. Looking forward to our dialogue and discussion together as once again we face the issues. We'll be talking about a theological, doctrinal, biblical issue today that I believe every Christian ought to listen up and understand well. We're talking about the signs of the second coming. The signs of the second coming. We're talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, when we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." And then Jesus goes on in John 17:17 and tells us explicitly, directly, precisely what he's talking about with truth. He's speaking of the word of God, and he said, "Thy word is truth." So when we talk about issues, theological, doctrinal, biblical, social, economic, political, when we talk about any of the issues of life, we need to understand they're fundamentally found in the word of God. God's word from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22, the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God, covers every issue that you and I would ever face in life. Gives us a definitive direction, roadmap, answer for that. But ladies and gentlemen, if you want to join in this discussion today, I believe it's important, more important perhaps than any other discussion that we could have. I believe the discussion about the coming of Christ, the second coming, by the way, the Jewish people, the Orthodox Jewish people are looking for his first coming. As believers, we know that Jesus Christ has already come. He is God incarnate, God come into flesh. We're looking forward to his second coming, or we should be. But may I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we're in a society today where the Bible warns us of the last days and what it will be like. And this is just one of the sample texts that we're going to talk about today. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible says this: "We know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." And then it goes on to describe in detail, a broad overview and then detail of what life will be like in these last days. Perilous times, dark, dangerous, difficult, devastating, dilemmifying. And those are the, I believe, the descriptives that we could use for overall society in which we're living today. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, if you want to jump in this dialogue and discussion, ask your questions. By the way, you can ask any theological, doctrinal, biblical question you like. I've learned in many years ago, if I don't have the answer, I'll say so. Be delighted to look it up, research it for you. But I enjoy the Q&A opportunity. That's what we do on this broadcast each day. And you can dial 831-0917, 831-0917, and join in the dialogue, the discussion, or you could ask your question. We'd love to keep it on the subject today so that we won't chase rabbits and not be able to get the thought completed for you, our listener. I want to remind you, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, much of what I'll discuss today you can find in my book, The Panorama of Prophecy. It is from the rapture of the church to the rule of Christ. It is one of the most definitive outlined structured books on the subject in the marketplace today. It covers things like the panorama of the rapture, the period of the ruin, that's talking about the tribulation, the program of the ruin, the powerful return of Christ, the peaceful reign of Christ, and the pictorial rule of Christ. The book is not massive. It's not but about 160 pages in length. It covers in great detail in six full chapters the dynamics of and the biblical, theological, doctrinal text in relationship to the overview, starting with the rapture of the church through the return of Christ, including the ruin, which is the 7 years of tribulation. I would suggest the book to you. Perhaps you have it on your library shelf. If you do not, you can call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. 1-800-GO-BIBLE, leave your contact information. Someone get back with you so that you could place an order for the book. It is not an expensive book. The book is $16.99, and we'd be delighted to ship the book to you at our cost. If you call in and say you heard it on this broadcast today, we'd be delighted to have it in your hands. I believe it's a tool book that every Christian should have. Most Christians are not aware of what the Bible says about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the signs that we need to be aware of. And I believe every Christian ought to be awake, alert, alive, and looking up and recognizing these signs are prevalent all around us. But ladies and gentlemen, the Bible warns us the last days where people will be living just as in the days of Noah. In fact, in Genesis 6:5, the scripture says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts and of the heart was on evil continually." And then in verse 11 of chapter 6 of the book of Genesis, the Bible says, "The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence." So, ladies and gentlemen, it is talking about that which is true in society today, just as it was in the days of Noah, eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, the scripture says. We'll talk about that in a moment. It's simply unprepared and unconcerned about the condition of the world and which we're living in, and I believe that is true today. The world is filled with violence, corruption, and the Bible says that in Matthew chapter 24, verse 5 and following, that it's going to be that same way in the last days. In fact, let me read first chapter 24 and verse 36 and following. "But as the days and hour, as the day and hour no man know, not even the angel of heaven, but the Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of Noah before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. And so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." So literally, ladies and gentlemen, what God's Word is saying, that just as in the days of Noah before the flood came, the people did not enter into the ark. Only eight were entered into the ark, and they were saved as a result of that. But the populace simply were involved in eating and drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage. And simply put, that is partying and having times of pleasantry and party and prideful aspects. They were unconcerned. They were unprepared. They were focusing on party and plenty and self-satisfaction. And that's what we find in all of society today, ladies and gentlemen. How many times you met with someone, other Christians even say, "Let's study, let's talk about, let's study, look at the Word of God about the second coming of Christ. Have you considered it? Have you thought about it? What should we do? How should we view that subject?" That is rarely preached today from the pulpits across America. Have you ever heard Joel Osteen talk about the second coming of Christ? You ever heard Rick Warren talk about the second coming of Christ? And I can go on and on and on with some of those that are teaching that which is aberrant to theological, doctrinal, biblical truth that's causing multitudes today to be disarmed and unaware and unprepared as Christians as we ought to be today. But ladies and gentlemen, when we look at the scripture, it says in Matthew 24, verse 5 and following, "And many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not deceived, troubled. For even for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All of these things," verse 8, Matthew 24, "all of these things are only the beginning of sorrows." Ladies and gentlemen, so when we look at what's found in Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 39, when we look at what's found in Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 through 11, when we read what is found in Matthew chapter 24, verse 5, 6, 7, and 8, we can just break it down in a basic 4 points, and I'm a point person. I like to do an outline in my speaking, my engagement in research and writing. In fact, in the book, The Panorama of Prophecy, talking about in the text on page 116 and following, in fact, I'm breaking into the unit of thought, talking about his return, it's universally visible. And the scripture says in Matthew 24, 27, "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. That is, every eye is going to see him, the scripture says. It is absolutely universally visible. The scripture is very clear in Revelation chapter 1:7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and also they which pierced him, and all the kindred of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. It is a time that is, according to the scripture, a time that is unknown, because it is very clear. We don't know when he's coming back. But the point that I want to make today on this broadcast, as we face the issue and talk about the signs of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to be cognizant of what the Bible says. We need to be aware of what the Bible says, and we need to be a witness because of his soon coming. It could happen at any day with the rapture of the church. Let me just give you a little chronology of the last days. The next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church. That is where the church, the bride of Christ, is suddenly seized, taken out of this old world. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18 is a very clear classic text on that subject. If you've not read it, study it, memorize it, because you understand that there's coming a day, there's the sudden seizure. The rapturus, the Latin word, means to suddenly seize, to snatch out of this old world. We as Christians will be suddenly seized, snatched out of this old world. Then there's 7 years, the Antichrist will step on the scene. There's 7 years of absolute devastation, darkness, and doom for the world that is before him after the church is raptured out. That's the 7 years of ruin, as I call it in my book, The Panorama of Prophecy. The conclusion of the 7 years of ruin, the Lord Jesus Christ will return in great, valiant, visible victory, and he will destroy the enemies of Christ, the enemies of the church, the enemies of the children of Israel, with the sword of his mouth. Revelation 19, verses 11 through 21, tells us. And then, after he destroys the enemies of God and Christ and the church, and the Antichrist, the false prophet, are cast into hell, and then Satan himself is cast into hell, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10. But after that has taken place, the Lord Jesus Christ will rule and reign for 1,000 years, ladies and gentlemen. He will rule and reign for 1,000 years on this earth. And then following the 1,000-year rule and reign, where we'll rule and reign with him, we'll be caught up together in the heavens to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in that place called heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, time won't allow to go into all of the details, but I simply want us to look at some of the highlights of what we're talking about, the signs of the second coming. First of all, the first thing we see is that of corruption. Corruption. Genesis chapter 5, chapter 6, verse 5 and following tells us clearly that it's a day of wickedness. Man's wicked heart will be thinking and imagining. The thoughts of his heart will be constantly, continually on nothing but wickedness and evil in the world. And I don't know of any other time in the world, in the globe today, that we could picture this as being the valid sign, one of the valid signs, where there's wickedness and violence and evil on the face of the globe. Just take for one segment of society, the Islamic jihadists, and their plans to absolutely take over Western civilization, their total plans to, as they call it, to bring in the hidden imam. They're talking about bringing in that one that is supposed to be the hidden imam to come in to bring peace and rule the earth. They don't realize, ladies and gentlemen, when they talk about that, the Quran covers that, by the way, the Islamic people do not realize that what they're really talking about is that demonic person that is called the Antichrist. I believe when you study Daniel chapter 11, you find in verse 31 and following very clearly that the Antichrist will be a homosexual Islamic. A homosexual Islamic will be the one that will rule this old world for 7 years with an iron fist and destroy anything that's called Christianity, anything that's called Christ, anything that's called the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, be totally destroyed. We're talking about corruption, ladies and gentlemen. We can find corruption morally, ethically, theologically, politically, on the face of the globe today. The scripture says, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was on evil continually. And then in verse 11, in chapter 6 of Genesis, that the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Ladies and gentlemen, we find violence on every hand in society. We're finding it exponentially increasing every day. Ought not to surprise us when you study the Word of God. So the first thing we see, ladies and gentlemen, is that of corruption. And 2 Timothy chapter 3 is very, very clear, where it says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, and covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good." And it goes on to talk about the condition in the world. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the signs of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, we see corruption. Secondly, we see confusion. Confusion in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 5. "For many shall come in my name," that is, ladies and gentlemen, in the name of Christ, claiming to be Christians, claiming to be pastors, preachers, teachers, saying, "I am Christ," and shall deceive many. Time simply will not allow me on this brief broadcast today to go into great detail that which you find across the nation and those that come supposedly preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's a false, phony gospel that is being proclaimed. It is something that is absolutely untrue. In fact, the Pope has recently said hell does not exist. The Pope has said the Bible is out of date and needs to be rewritten. The Pope has made a statement, if you're homosexual, don't worry about it. It's not sin. God created you that way, so you don't need to worry about it. You have Andy Stanley that said, for Christians, the Ten Commandments are no longer relevant. Andy Stanley said that if it comes down to science and the Bible, we need to trust science and not the Bible when it comes to creation of man versus evolution of man, according to the so-called pseudoscience today and their theory of evolution. And Stanley's also said, we need to come unhitched from the Old Testament. Ladies and gentlemen, I could go into great detail, naming names and giving you doctrinal error that's being preached and taught today that I believe will send multiplied mega numbers of people to a devil's hell because the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Word of God, is not being preached faithfully from so many pulpits, and therefore Christians are anemic, ignorant, unlearned about what the Word of God says. Perhaps you're in that category today. Perhaps you've got deep, serious questions about what you've been taught and what you believe. Love to have you call in, 831-0917, 831-0917. Ask your question. Give your input. Perhaps there's a need for you to understand better what the Word of God says. I've asked a number of times, why does God give us such a big old book called the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E, as the children grow up singing? Ladies and gentlemen, it's because God is given us from Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22, God's revelation of himself to man. And God wants us to study the Word to know him better and to be more intimately involved with a relationship with him through Jesus Christ. So we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the signs of the second coming. And as we look at the signs and understand, first of all, we see corruption in the world. Secondly, we see confusion, theologically, doctrinally, biblically speaking. And then thirdly, ladies and gentlemen, we see calamities. Wars and rumors of wars, the scripture says. Today we see the preparation. I believe we're watching, ladies and gentlemen, if I can just put a little footnote to that statement. I believe we're watching the preparation for Ezekiel 38 and 39 to take place. Now listen very carefully. Ezekiel 38 and 39 is what some call the war with Russia. I call it the coming global Islamic invasion. Because in Ezekiel 38 and 39, you find very clearly outlined and delineated what's going to take place. And we see the stage being set today, where Russia will lead five nations controlled by Islam, to go to battle to try to annihilate Israel. And it will proliferate on a global level and will be a major, major cataclysmic event that ultimately will lead into the Battle of Armageddon. But some of those nations, ladies and gentlemen, according to Ezekiel 38 and 39, Iran, Turkey, Germany, Libya, and Syria. And today, ladies and gentlemen, Russia controls Syria. They've got ships in Syria. They've got weaponry in Syria, aircraft in Syria. The Syrians are armed to the teeth with Russian implementations of war. Today, ladies and gentlemen, Turkey is absolutely Islamic, and Turkey is absolutely dominated by Russian influence. Iran, old Persia, Old Testament Persia. Persia is standing up again and will absolutely, in fact, you're watching today, if you watched any news recently, where Persia, old Persia, Iran, has already attacked some ships of Americans. And for Great Britain's gigantic supertanker, they've just taken it into shore. They have, if you please, confiscated it. They have taken control of that ship. They are flexing their muscle, and they're saying to America, I dare you. By the way, it's because of what President Trump has done on tightening up on anything that's called financial aid to Iran, anything that will call that will allow funds to be flooded into Iran. Unlike President Barack Hussein Obama, that shipped pallets of money, cash money, about $170 billion to Iran, to appease them, to sign a dotted line on a document that allowed them to exponentially increase the time slot on being able to have a nuclear weapon. I believe they're within a gnat's breath, if not already with it, within a gnat's breath of having that nuclear device, ladies and gentlemen. And I simply believe, based on the authority of the Word of God, that if they even get closer to that, I believe that Israel is going to strike first and wipe out anything that they have called nuclear underground tunnels and or silos to host and to house their nuclear warheads and the implementation of war, because they've already said that once they do that, they'll wipe Israel off the map. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the signs of the last days. We're talking about the signs of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're right at that precipice. We're right at that stage, ladies and gentlemen. We see corruption universally. We see confusion on a universal level. We see calamity on every hand. But ladies and gentlemen, some of those calamities, because the scripture says in the text there, as we're looking at it, and you shall hear wars and rumors of wars, see that you be not troubled, for these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, pestilences, that's talking about diseases. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, because of the illegal aliens coming into America, we have today all kinds of diseases that for the Western Hemisphere we had absolutely conquered, but they're being reintroduced into the American system because those coming across the borders illegally are being flown, bused, and trucked into every portion, every part of the inward parts of the United States of America. And it's being done because of Nancy Pelosi and the U.S. House of Representatives that absolutely are disdainful of anything that President Donald J. Trump could do. And as a result of that, they're more concerned about hating him than protecting America. And we're destroying our system of governance in the United States of America. That's just another point. But famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. Ladies and gentlemen, we're seeing not only, we're talking about the signs of the second coming. We see not only corruption universally and confusion universally, but we also see calamity on a universal level, a universal plane, wars and rumors of wars. And we see also today some of the same plagues, the 10 plagues that's found in Genesis in relationship to the plagues that were put on the people because they were not released, God's children. Here's an article that says, does recent locust attack signal the end times? One of the most bizarre stories I've ever come across, this article says, made headline mainstream news a few days ago. According to Newsweek and other sources, a swarm of locusts descended upon Mecca, Saudi Arabia, the third largest city. Due to its prophetic nature, many people on social media quickly mentioned the end times. Even from a non-spiritual perspective, this article I continue to read, the locust attack raises fear about impending disaster and calamity. Significantly, the swarm's epicenter was the Grand Mosque, Islam's holiest site. Further, the article says, typically a major swarm consists of millions upon millions of locusts descending upon a targeted area. Quite often, this area features crops and grass. Here's another article about the same subject. Millions of locusts involve a city in Saudi Arabia. A huge swarm of ravenous locusts have been caught on film, completely blanketing the skies over Saudi Arabia city, or Saudi Arabian city. The deluge of biblical bugs, which numbered in tens of millions, descended on the city the weekend. Creepy online videos showed the true scale of the infestation, which has already hit countries either side of the Red Sea. In one shocking clip, the phone camera user can be seen taking a shovel to a tree to scrape off the locusts there. This article further says, in January, a huge swarm of insects descended in Islam's holiest site in Mecca, leaving worshippers covered in insects. It goes on to talk about the video footage, et cetera, et cetera. It goes further to say, one of the 10 plagues poured out in Egypt was the plague of the locusts. brought by the east winds into Egypt. Similarly, one of the seven plagues in the Revelation text speaks of locusts. Could this swarm of locusts from Saudi Arabia, a country east of Egypt, foreshadow the plagues that will soon fall on the wicked in the world that's without Christ? Ladies and gentlemen, this is an article that is staggering when you consider it. Here's one that talks about a similar thing. It says, biblical prophecy, are we witnessing the end of the world? The Bible, the biblical end of the world is almost here, one prophetic preacher said. The signs of the apocalypse unfold around the globe. Goes further saying, on Friday, May 3rd, United Nations locust watcher tracker warned hordes of desert locusts were breeding in the Saudi Arabian desert and in Iran. Ladies and gentlemen, that is not the end of it. Here's an article that talks about a very similar plague. It says, plague of toads spread fear in Palm Beach Gardens neighborhood. Neighbors complain thousands of baby toads are taking over the yards and the pools and the garages. Jennifer Quash says in the 8 years that she's lived in Mirabella, she has never seen anything like this before. Quote, I just can't believe it. It's just really gross. I feel like I don't have a backyard anymore. I don't have a front yard. I feel that we don't even have a place to turn around. I feel that the toads are taking over. Further, the article states, we woke up to the tens of thousands of what we didn't know at the time are the frogs or toads that we discovered in our swimming pool by the thousands around our house and in the house. Further, the article says, if they are the toads that definitely the issue is about, according to Ethan Howell, the manager of the Florida Environmental Pest Management Agency, they are poisonous and they excrete a liquid from their glands, and if it is ingested by the dogs, it can be fatal. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about some of these things are cataclysmic, some calamities that's on a universal level that we see exponentially increasing globally that I believe are pointing to the last days of the signs of the coming of the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. Now, keep in mind, if you're saved, we're not going to be here when Jesus Christ returns. We will have already been raptured out. And according to Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 and following, we, the children of God, the church of Jesus Christ, the bride of Christ, we will return with him when he returns. So we're talking about the signs, the biblical signs that we need to recognize shows us that we are in those last of the last days, pointing to the ultimate return of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are catastrophes of famines and pestilences and calamities that the world has never seen. Here's an article that says, "Is the big one is next. California, Southern California is pounded by back-to-back major earthquakes with thousands of aftershocks coming every 24 hours. The article says the earth hasn't stopped rumbling under the Southern California since Thursday, when a powerful 6.4 earthquake rattled the Ridgecrest, magnitude that is, earthquake rattled the Ridgecrest and the surrounding area. That was the 7.1 that happened after the 6.4. And I have read behind some of the geologists that say now over 10,000 shock waves, aftershocks, rumblings have taken place, many of them 4.1 or better. The article is very, very clear, ladies and gentlemen, as I studied the scripture also, because the scripture says in Revelation 6:15-17, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondsman, and every freeman, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him, speaking of Jesus, that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath, thumos, the white-hot anger of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Answer to that question is none, no one. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the last of the last days. We're talking about the fact, the signs of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And ladies and gentlemen, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and 4, time will not allow me to read the text, but simply tell you that in that text it says in the last days that there will be those that will be questioning and challenging and saying no, that Jesus Christ is not going to come back. Scoffers and disbelievers will doubt and disbelieve it. But ladies and gentlemen, the thing that I want us to close with today is the recognition of what the Bible says in Luke chapter 21, verse 25 and following. This is where we need to leave the subject today. And there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars shall be upon the earth, distress of nations and perplexities of the seas. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to look up, lift up our head, for our redemption draweth nigh. Jesus is coming back soon. God bless you, and thank you for tuning in today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air, even tomorrow, as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.